Hi, it's Alan Lamberti, WeeBee 108, and coming up next Thursday night, March 12th, the Fairfield Theater Company. He was a member of Buffalo Springfield, then he formed Poco. He, of course, Loggins and Messina. I'm talking about Jim Messina. He's going out on a solo tour with his band, The Roadrunners, and he's happy to spend a few minutes with me here today. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing good. Thank you for asking.
I always like to ask anybody that I interview, where are you calling from right now? Whereabouts are you located?
In my basement. I'm actually in Franklin, Tennessee.
How has the winter been in Tennessee? Because we have had a brutal winter here in Connecticut.
It's been a lot colder than I really would have appreciated. Let's put it that way. It's been a three-cat night, man. I'm telling you, the cats, they jump in the bed. Thank goodness, because one's a good foot warmer and the other one, you know, is a good back warmer.
Well, the good news is when you come to Connecticut next week, we're going to finally be out of our cold spell. We're going to be back into the 70s. It's perfect weather to go out and enjoy a nice night of music.
I'm loving it every minute.
Now, you're about to kick off this tour. You're starting in the Northeast. It's kicking off a couple of dates in Connecticut. What have you decided to put together? What can we expect?
Well, we decided we wanted to do something fresh and new, but not too far off, you know, what's been happening. This will give you an idea. This is our set. We're going to start off with Watching the River Run, House at Pooh Corner, and then Danny's Song, which generally the people like to sing all those songs with us. I'm going to be including a song called Mexican Minutes, which I wrote that Brooks and Dunn recorded a number of years ago. I've added Carefree Country Day to the set because I want to have the next set of songs be kind of a chronology of my career. And it's going to start off with Carefree Country Day, Buffalo Springfield. I'm going to do Kind Woman to both represent Richie and, of course, the late Rusty Young, who I became good friends with after the last 3 years of his life. We actually did some shows together, and it was really wonderful to get to know him again. We've added Call It Love, which was from the Poco reunion that I did. We're going to do Better Think Twice, which is a Poco song. Listen to a country song, Holiday Hotel, all part of my country rock ventures. And Your Mama Don't Dance. We've added She's Got a Rock, which is a new one that follows that. They're really perfect for one another. We'll take a break for intermission. And then we'll come back and do a song called Traveling Blues from the Full Sail album, which will go into Coming to You from that same album in Lahaina, which I call the Island Medley, ending with Vejibla from the first album that Kenny and I did called Sitting In. From that, I would go to some of my solo works, which is New and Different Way. My Oasis album will go into Loving You Every Minute from my Messina album. And then we jump back to the Sitting In days. I'm going to do the whole trilogy, which is Loving Me to Make a Woman Feel Wanted and Peace of Mind. We do Be Free. And Angry Eyes is the closing part of that set. If we get an encore, it'll either be Dragging the Line. And Dragging the Line is a Tommy James.
Oh, sure.
The Shondell song, which I used to listen to when I was a kid. And I just loved that song. It was recommended to me at Warner Brothers one time from Lenny Wernicker. He said, you should think about doing that song. It might be a good song for you. And I thought about it for many years, and then I decided, yeah, why not? So we've worked up an arrangement much different than his, so much so that I thought, you know what? I'm going to contact him because I want to make sure he's comfortable with the way I do this song. There's nothing worse than having somebody destroy one of your songs. So I contacted him. I sent a copy of the arrangement and recording it to him and said, listen, I'm not looking to be cut in on the writers on this or publishers. I just like the song. I love it. But I've got a different arrangement, and I want to make sure you're comfortable with the way I'm doing it. And he wrote me back and said, no, I love it. Just do it just the way it is. So we'll either do that as an encore, or you need a man, depending on, or both, if the people, you know, want it. So that's pretty much the set. It starts acoustically, goes into the country part, gets into the more lighter, whatever we called Loggins and Messina. I don't know if there was a title, adult contemporary. And then kind of more, you know, Latin rock that I did in my solo career, or doing in my solo career. So It'll be an evening of music that many people recognize. Some will be surprised. The arrangements are done as close as I possibly can to the originals with the instrumentation that I have. But I'm very happy with it. Great band of guys, Jack Bruno on drums, who was with Tina Turner and Joe Cocker and Delbert McClinton. And I've got Stevie Nieves, who was with me and Kenny on our 2009 reunion, and as well as our 2005 reunion. Some local folks here from Tennessee. Everybody is now in Tennessee that's in the band, but James Frazier has played keyboards and vocals. Wonderful musician, as well as Ben King on bass. Just a great group of guys. We're all friends. We love working together. Good personalities. Everybody's a great hang. Doesn't get any better than that. That's what you hope for whenever you're in a band, that people you can be friends with and make music, and people who listen and care about what they're doing. These guys don't phone it in. They bring it in, you know, right off the boat.
That's awesome. Well, it's going to be a show that really runs the gamut of your career. Just to go back one moment, you know, you said you reached out to Tommy James, you know, you wanted to make sure he was cool with what you were doing. Is that something you've done in the past, if you've ever covered something, or is that something anybody's ever done for any of your music, or is that very unusual to just sort of like chat with the writer, the composer, whatever, and just be like, hey, what do you think about this?
Well, I very seldom have ever done anybody else's music other than my own, or those people that I work or write with. The only time I've ever done what you would call outside material was when I produced an album called So Fine. So Fine was an album in terms of what I was doing that I have to say, and it's not because I'm bragging about it, that's just what it is. It's one of the first tribute albums that was ever recorded. And it was a tribute to all the musicians the artists and writers and musicians that had influenced Kenny and I growing up. So Fine was a compilation of songs from Elvis Presley, from Ricky Nelson, Clyde McFatter with Lover's Question. I think there was a Hank Snow song on there, Everly Brothers. These were people who influenced our lives greatly. Excuse me, I've been doing so many interviews. I'm losing my voice here, but...
Well, you better have your voice next week.
Well, I'm working on that. But anyway, that's the only time I've ever done any recorded music outside. And no, we didn't ask them at that time because I didn't think that it was really necessary. These were songs that were, you know, songs that we loved. We were going to do them the way we were going to do them, come hell or high water, whether they liked them or not. I mean, it was... We were 20-some years old, and that's what we wanted to do. I just felt that I know that I work pretty hard to keep the arrangements exactly as they should be, again, given the instrumentation I have. But this was such a departure from the original way, because his was kind of, taking it easy, old hard way. Right, and my version is taking it easy the old hard way, taking it easy day by day. I dig the snow. Totally different. And I thought, I'm going to ask him if he's okay with this. And so that's why I did it. The last thing I want to hear is somebody coming back to me and say, man, you really ruined my song. You really ruined my, you know, that's got to be... So I just decided to ask him, and thank goodness he liked the way it was done.
So on a related note, obviously, you know, you've had music that's been recorded by other artists, you know, some songs specifically written for them, but what about a song like Your Mama Don't Dance? Elvis did it. Poison did it. What was your reaction when you heard those?
Well, when I first heard Elvis do it, I thought, oh, wow, Elvis did one of my songs. Because, you know, I did Elvis's songs when I was a kid. And interestingly enough, later in life, just recently, I learned that Elvis Presley, when you go into the mansion, into his room where he has his music, where he had his music, there's Loggins and Messina records are there.
Oh, wow.
And apparently he loved Loggins and Messina as much as I loved him. So that was quite an interesting thing, and probably perhaps the reason why he did Your Mama Don't Dance. It was in his stream of consciousness. Now, Poison, on the other hand, I didn't even know they had recorded the song. my lawyer calls me up and says, "Yeah, you got a band called Poison who recorded your songs, Your Mama Don't Dance." I said, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah. How's it doing?" He says, "Hell, man, it's already sold 4 million copies." I said, "Oh." And then when I listened to it, I thought, well, this doesn't sound like Your Mama Don't Dance. And then I got to thinking, I listened to the record, and then it should have dawned on me. Every artist is going to have a different sound. It's just like, as a watercolor artist, when I've gone out on paintings and you're sitting with a group of people, we're all looking at the same object, the same little house or same whatever structure. You walk around and you look at everybody, they all look different. That's because you got a different artist doing it. And I realized later that Poison's style and what they did was exactly what it needed to be for Your Mama Don't Dance. That's who they were as artists. And that's what they were. That was the picture they were painting. And of course, Kenny and I were painting our own picture. So I began to appreciate it more from the standpoint that they did a great job. Their fans loved it. It sold. And that's what art is about. It's the interpretation, right?
And I would think that also it would cause, somebody else to discover the original versions and vice versa. I would think that also plays a part in it as well.
Well, and what's really interesting, no matter whether it's Your Mama Don't Dance or Wake Up Little Susie or whatever it is, it's always interesting to go back to the original to see what was it about that song that inspired somebody else to want to record it. Therein lies the secret and the magic to what a song and music can do. Because, again, looking at the Everly Brothers, Kenny and I one time in 2009, I think we're looking at trying to find some songs, and we just sort of started talking about Everly Brothers and got into a discussion about the original Let It Be Me. And we started looking for the music on the iPhone, and we'd find one. I said, "No, that's not the original." He goes, "Yeah, you're right." And we'd find another one. "No, that's not it either. No, you're right about that." And then we found this one, and he goes, "I think this is the original." I go, "Yep, that's the original." And in listening to it, in that moment, my brain went back to where I was at that time in my life as a young man when I first heard that song. I was living with my father and all that stuff. And I realized that I do believe that the original recording of any song that became popular has an ambiance to it. It has a patina to it. It has something that draws one into it to the point to where it helps to expand their past and their memories and brings about, it's kind of like smelling a certain fragrance in the air and you go, "Oh, yes, that's Spanish jasmine." And it takes you to a place. As music does, I think, when the recording is such that it has had such an emotional, whether subliminal or conscientious effect on your soul. And therein lies the magic of why we like to listen to music, at least why I do.
No, you're 100% right, and we'll be hearing a lot of big songs from you coming up next week. And you know, you mentioned audiences love to sing along to Danny's song. You're going to be doing that early in the set. But what's interesting about that is that, the version from Sittin' In was not the hit version, the hit in quotes. The Ann Murray version was the hit version, but ultimately the Loggins and Messina version is the one that sort of overtook. When did you become aware of that change? Was there a moment that you could pinpoint? Did you guys realize, "Oh, wait a minute, we have something here"?
I don't know that I ever had that experience. I do know before Kenny and I ever worked together or I had ever recorded with him, my father-in-law, Barry Sullivan, who was an actor, had a child who was born as a blue baby back in the days when they couldn't do much of it. So he had some issues physically that kept him, and at one point had to be at a state hospital just because of the emotional ability of parents not being able to deal with him. But his dad always was there for him and would raise money for the hospital to help all the kids there. And one time he asked me if I'd be willing to go and, help them raise some money. By that time, I was out of Poco, so he considered me an important person or an artist that might be able to bring some attention and raise some money. And I said, "Well," I said, "I don't have those arrangements. Let me talk to Kenny." And I started working with Kenny, and we said, would you do something with me? He said, well, yeah, but what would we do? And I said, well, we've been rehearsing Danny's song. We've been rehearsing House at Pooh Corner and stuff like that. So we went out just as two people that nobody really knew yet and sang at this benefit. And Danny's song was one of the songs that we sang in Pooh Corner, naturally, because we were singing for kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the songs, as we sang them, went over quite well. People really loved what we did. So that was my first experience with Danny's song. Then when we recorded it, I had to find a way to record it so that it wasn't folky. And I thought maybe the way to do it would be to try to move it more into a country folk kind of direction, for the lack of a better word. It was kind of folk. Well, you know, when you stop and think about Danny's song, you know, Kenny was a big Tim Hardin fan, so it kind of was his "I Was a Carpenter" kind of tune, right? So I added a little more country feel to it by bringing in a Michael Amardian and the guitar that I played on it, that kind of stuff. And for us, it was a great opening for him because he needed to open the set. I wasn't out there with him in the beginning; I was sitting in. So he would start with songs like, you know, Watching the River Run, or actually, that song wasn't even done yet. It was Pooh Corner and Danny's song and songs like that. And they were just meant to introduce him as a songwriter.
Mm.
And then as time went on, Anne Marie had that hit. Then by the time we started doing it, they recognized the song. I'm not sure how long Anne Marie went on singing that, but we sang that song for 6 years every show. So it became part of Loggins and Messina, and it also had it's also a song on its own that just had an emotional effect on people. Apparently, there were a lot of babies created with that song. And then those babies were saying House at Pooh Corner, so then the babies had another song of their own. So that was part of a very paternal way of life for many of our fans.
That's a great way to sum it up. And we'll be hearing those songs next week. And you're actually going to be doing something pretty cool after the show. You do an audience Q&A. When did you start doing that? And because, you know, not many artists would, after playing for, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then be willing to stick around and answer questions.
Well, I have had COVID twice. And I just realized I can't do questions and answers on a meet and greet any longer, because if I get sick, the tour stops. Mm. In fact, I went a month ago just to a professional gathering and got sicker than a dog with my throat and lungs, and I'm just now getting over it. And my wife says, "Oh, we have something we have to go to tonight." I said, "Not me. I'm not going to run the risk of getting sick again by being around people, because there's some flu that's going around that's just kicking everybody's rear end." So I've decided after COVID, I want to see my fans. I want to say hello to them. I want to be able to greet them. But I can't do it face-to-face that way. So I decided to start allowing the venues, if they want to support it, rather than doing meet and greets, because they always want you to do that, or they want to make extra money. And I said, look, I'm not willing to charge people to come and see me. That just feels wrong. But I'm willing to do a conversation with after the show, where I come back 15 minutes later. I stay on the stage. They stay in the audience. And they can ask any question that they want. Doesn't mean I'm going to answer it, but they can ask any question that they want. That way, everybody gets a chance to hear the questions. Everybody gets a chance to learn about what it is they want to know. And I get a chance to see their faces. I get a chance to hear them talking, asking, you know, wonderful questions, or hear them tell me about what they felt about the show, what they liked about it, or what they didn't like about it. It helps me to understand who my fans are a lot better than one-on-one with everybody pretty much asking the same question, me having, you know, maybe catching a bug that I don't need.
Makes sense. And it's a very cool opportunity for a lot of listeners and the audience that night. March 12th, Thursday night, Fairfield Theater Company. There's still some tickets available for Jim Messina live in Fairfield next week. And Jim, thank you for spending a few minutes with me. And I will be there. I can't wait to see you next week.
Thank you, Alan. I appreciate it so much.